We're doing Judaism 101, and we're going to try to go through the parshiot quickly, just so that we can know what is in each parsha, and we'll start from the beginning. So Breshit in the beginning, we know in the first parsha in the Torah, we will have creation in 7 days, Shabbos, Adam, Chava being created from Adam, they're having the children Cain and Hevel, they're sinning from the Eitz Hadas with the seduction of the snake, being kicked out of Gan Eden, and the curse that Chava will have difficulties in childbirth with her period, etc. She'll be under Adam's reign. That's part of the curse. V'hu yimshol bach. There's an aspect where he has more control. And Adam and his curse, that he'll have to toil in his life and he'll have to work for his living, and ultimately he will die. And then the fight between Cain and Hevel. Cain murders Hevel, and then Cain gets cursed. And he wanders until ultimately his great-great-great-grandson kills him. Lemech kills his great-great-grandfather, Cain, and at the same day he mistakenly kills his own son, Tubal Cain. Lemech was blind, he was hunting, and they saw something move in the bushes, and his son said, "They're dead, shoot," and his son used to guide him, and his son showed him where to shoot, he shot. Turns out he killed his great-great-grandfather, Cain. It was his Cain over there in the bush. His son comes back and says, "Dad, I have bad news. We shot your great-great-grandfather, Cain." Now, there was a curse that whoever killed Cain for generations would be cursed. So when Lemech hears this, he clasped his hands in sorrow and mashed his son's head between his hands by mistake and ended up killing his great-great-grandfather and his son on the same day. When he comes home, so his wives, Ada and Sila, refuse to live with him. They say, after this curse, what's our future? They refuse to live with him. He takes them to court to their great-great-great-great-grandfather, to Adam, to Adam. And Adam tells them, no, Adan Sila, forgive me, did it by mistake. Go live with him. And they say, what do you mean? For 130 years you haven't lived with Chava, with Eve. Why should we listen to you? You're not with your wife because your things went wrong. So we want to be with him. So Adam says, okay, I'll go back to my wife. And he goes back to his wife and they have the third son, which is the continuation of humanity, Sheth. And then we have 10 generations from Adam to Noah. During those 10 generations we know that humanity declined. People started doing idol worship. And ultimately God says, I have to wipe out mankind. Mankind is using their power to have improper relationships, to grab women under their husbands. The whole world has become immoral. And that brings us to Noah. Noah is the first one that's born without webbed hands. He has 10 separate hands, and that's why he's called Noah, because they realized life would be more convenient if they're saying that people are different. They don't have webbed hands. They're going to be able to master tools and stuff much better. And a little bit. and so... that brings us to Parshas Noach. In 10 generations, humanity has declined and gone to idol worship. As we know, the involvement with Enosh, that initially they served idols as intermediaries between them and God, and finally it became all out idol worship. Noach is told, we're up to Parshas Noach. Noach is told that there's going to be a flood, he should build an ark, he's going to bring 7 of the pure species and 2 of the impure species. He spends 120 years building the ark. And then he keeps warning people they have to repent. No one listens to him. Metushelach dies, and God awaits 7 days until his Shiva is over. And then God tells Noah to come into the ark, and God has angels bring all the animals into the ark. The ark has 3 levels, we know, top, middle, and bottom. One for the humans, one for the animals, and one for the garbage. There's a tzohar, either a window or a great rock that gives light in the ark. And inside the ark, they remain 40 days and 40 nights. There's a flood. The people warn him, if there's going to be a flood, we'll come and destroy your ark. And God brings lions and bears to surround the ark, and the people can't go in. Noah is in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. It rains from above, and the waters swell from underneath, from the underground springs. And the world is destroyed. A machlokus in the Gemara, whether it was the whole world or it wasn't the whole world. But there's destruction, there's the deluge, the huge flood. Our tradition has it that God did it by changing the constellations. 2 stars from Kima, God took 2 stars from their place in heavens. And those 2 stars, moving them, caused unnatural things. We also have a tradition that during this period, day and night didn't function. There was no day and night. There was no seasons during this period. There was something unusual astronomically that went hand in hand with the flood. Almost a year passes until everything dries out. We know the story. He sent out the raven. The raven didn't want to go. He sent out the dove. The first time came back. Second time came back with a branch. And the third time it didn't come back. And he realized that everything dried. He took off the roof of the ark. And finally they came out of the ark. When they come out of the ark, Noach brings sacrifices of the seven pure animals. Those animals are good for sacrifices. Noach gets drunk. His grandson, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Yefet, his grandson Canaan sees it. He calls his father. They either castrate him or rape him. And Noach is lying naked in his tent, and his other two children, Shem and Yefet, hear about it, and they come and they assure that they will not see their father nakedness. They walk in backwards with the cover. They cover their father. When he awakens, he realizes what his son has done, and he curses Ham that he should be black and that he should be slave to his brothers forever. And he blesses Yefet and Shem. The blessing of Yefet came true in Greek. Greek is Yaft Elokim LeYefet, and Shem got the blessing that ultimately he would have a priestly family, and that came true in Avram, who came from Shem. We have 10 generations till Avram. Avram comes to the world, and Ham, we have a recording of the offsprings. One of Ham's offsprings is Canaan. Canaan is a servant to his brothers. He's been cursed by his father, and the Canaanites will ultimately conquer the land of Israel, and it is named the land of Canaan, but it is not rightfully owned by them because they are the servants of Shem. So Shem's offsprings have a right to the land, but Canaan overpowers them and takes the land. One of Ham's children's name is Mitzrayim. That's why in Ma'ariv we say Admas B'nei Ham, the land of the sons of Ham, because the Egyptians are the sons of Ham as well, and they're also black and servants to Shem. And then we have the genealogy as described in the end of Parshas Noach. And that genealogy is important because it is one of the proofs that Moshe gave the Jewish people that God sent him, that God told him exactly where each nation came from going back to the time of the flood. 10 generations later we had Avram. The people build the Tower of Babel. That's also in Parshas Noach. And when they build the Tower of Babel, in some way they want to rebel against God. We're in our Drasha Saran class, we're discussing different pshat and what was their intent. At the end of Parshas Noach, Avram is traveling towards the land of... He's traveling with his father, and his father passes away. And then we come to Parshas Lech Lecha, where God tells him, travel to the land I will show you, the land of Canaan, and that's what we'll pick up next time. Let's break now, and every person will review what we said, more or less, review it with one another, so that you've mastered Parshas Bereishis and Noach.